Okay. Let's approach the throne of grace together. I appreciate Amy doing the genealogy of Claudius. We got two ladies, as a matter of fact, that are in the midst of this type of study. Amy is at SMU and studying in great detail this aspect, this era of history. She's a history major, and very polite and correct. Now, I'd just like to point out something. She said, "Come on, Amy, get it out. Did I mess up?" She says, "Well..." But I don't mind this at all. As I told you, this is exactly why this study is here. I will spend, sometimes several more hours of studying just for this class than I will for another class. Say the average would be, maybe 5 to 8 hours per class in the general studies, depending on different things and all the work done. But this is this virgin. This is material that I've had to a superficial degree, and that's why I have this class. And I appreciate those of you that do come to it, because these are things that I want to know. I would not spend that time if I did not have to stand up and teach it. And so I have to read the history books, read all of these things, and go through this material. I'm reading a book on the history of England now, and I don't even know when I'm going to get there. But at least I'll have some idea of what's going on when we get there. But by then, I should have read a couple of books on it, but which is, as I said, this is why I have this. So Amy, I have no problem at all. Just, you get right in there, and you'll be doing us all the favorite things like this. But we'll take a look at Claudius, but first let's approach the throne of grace together in prayer. Father, how grateful we are for the confidence and the hope that you have given to us in your word in regard to history and the rise and fall of nations and the rise and fall of people, and that we, Heavenly Father, need to concern ourselves with the study of the word of God, with living the Christ-centered life, taking care, Heavenly Father, of our own area of responsibility. We dedicate these next moments, Father, that we may appreciate the decisions that have been made in history, seeing your sovereign control in history, we might learn from these things. Father, we praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Now, what I want to do is, we are in the midst of looking at Agrippa, but I want to go back to something right now. We just finished the chart. Well, we dealt with the day of Pentecost, which is the day of beginning the church age, and then we noted a chart going from 30 to 98 A.D. Dealing with the church age. Now, does anybody need one that didn't get one? Because now we've got abundant supply. Would anybody like an extra one for a nickel? Amy and I will split the profits on that. All right. So we finished the chart, a flow of events up to 98 A.D. Now what I want to do is go back and fill in a lot of things. And so we started off with 4 points last Sunday night, ended up with 4 points. Very quickly, because this is where I wanted to draw your attention. Pilate was removed as procurator. Point one, you already have this. Pilate was removed as procurator and charged to return to Rome to answer charges made against him by both the Jews and the Samaritans. Point two, 37, AD 37, Tiberius was assassinated by the Praetorian commander. March the 16th, during all of the confusion, Pilate escaped. Nothing more is known of Pilate. We will have to wait till we get to heaven to ask the Lord or somebody what happened to Pilate, if you're interested. Three, Caligula, who was known as Little Boots. We studied him a little bit. He became the emperor of Rome in 37. He will rule to 41. Caligula, as you recall, was referred to being as insane. He wasted the treasury on parties and really did Rome a great disfavor. And that brought us to point four. This is what I want to pay a little attention on. Point four, the next emperor is Claudius, and he will rule from 41 to 54. This is the family of the Claudius that you have in front of you. Now, just if you have that, he was appointed emperor by the Roman army, and I gave you the incident that related to his being appointed the Roman emperor by the Roman army. The Roman army, the Senate, reluctantly, hesitantly agreed. They wanted a man that would be more favorable to the Senate rather than to the military, but he became the emperor. Claudius will rule with some wisdom, and but his primary weakness will be women, and in fact you can see some of that on the chart. His primary weakness will be women. He extended the rule of Rome into North Africa. He also made Britain a province. He will also strengthen the judicial system of the Republic. He will execute his wife for plotting against him, and then later marry his niece. Now, if you look, in fact, in this clip next to Agrippina, they were his niece, so this is his niece. Now, she had Nero by a former marriage. In fact, if you look at Amy's note at the bottom, Drusus died while still a child, Octavian. You see that son under the first column on your left. Octavia married Nero. You see Octavia under Messalina. Octavia married Nero, the son of Agrippina, and Demetrius, and he died. Claudius adopted his stepson. See, Agrippina will marry Claudius, so Claudius will adopt Agrippina's son, Nero, making him the next emperor of Rome. Britannicus was violently poisoned by Nero or by Nero's mother. Have they confirmed it is by Nero now? Because the Britannicus said it still could be the mother. Who knows? Somebody poisoned him. Whatever way you look at it, the boy should not have had the glass of wine. And he should have had him a cupbearer, but he didn't have him a cupbearer. Now, let's take a look at what some of the things that we have. Agrippina, who had Nero by former marriage, she then married Claudius, and Claudius is, we have on the note, adopted the son, and he convinced Claudius, was convinced by Agrippina to appoint Nero as the next emperor, the rightful successor to the emperor, over his own son. And so Nero is his stepson, but if you look on here, Britannicus was his legitimate son. And what he did, he took Nero over his own son to be emperor. After he did that, Agrippina poisoned Claudius. And as we said, either Nero or Agrippina will poison also Britannicus. Any way you look at it, the boy's out, and Nero is in as the emperor. Now hold that, because having that in its proper place, we got to pick up and come into some things that we're dealing with. Let's go to Herod Agrippa II. Now, I don't know if you still have the chart available. You really don't need it. But I want to tell you, you can look at the chart later to get it all in order, but I want to look at Agrippa II. And dealing with Agrippa II, he will be the emperor from 50 to 100, or not the emperor, he will rule from 50 to 100. So let's take a look at Herod Agrippa II, from 50 to 100. Okay, because I want to bring this into all of these events, the drama working together. All right, one. He was born in A.D. 27. Agrippa II was born in A.D. 27. He's very important to the Bible. That's why we're going to spend a few minutes here. Born in A.D. 27, son of Agrippa I and a woman named Cypros, C-Y-P-R-O-S, who was the daughter of Phasael. Herod the Great, brother's son. The main thing is his family. All of this whole thing is all in family, is the point here. He was 17 years of age when his father died suddenly to send him to death. That was where we read about, even in the Word of God, Acts talked about his death, and he was eaten by worms and died. And then I read to you Josephus' account. It was read to you the biblical account, and then Josephus, how he walked out, and they called him a god, and he took that on, and so God caused him to die, and he died a horrible death. Well, when he died, his son was 17 years of age. Agrippa was educated in Rome, as were most of the children of aristocracy. At the death of his father, his mother did not feel Agrippa was old enough to, at the death of his father, or Herod Agrippa I dies, the ruler of Rome, Claudius is the ruler of Rome, did not feel that Agrippa was old enough to rule in his father's place. This is when Judea returns to the status of a Roman province, and that's important. This is when Judea returns to the status of a Roman province in 44 A.D., A.D. 44. So I messed up a little bit, so let's just get it through our mind. We have Herod Agrippa I, son of Herod the Great, and now we have the grandson, Herod Agrippa II. When Herod Agrippa I died, Claudius, the emperor of Rome, did not feel that he was old enough to take his father's rule. Therefore, he made Judea a province of Rome, 44 A.D., A.D. 44. He was then appointed a procurator to govern Judea. He then appointed again procurators to govern Judea. Procurators will actually govern Judea from 44 to 66. 66 is an important date for you as a Christian. That is the date that the riots really began in Jerusalem that will lead to the fall of Jerusalem in 70 A.D. But they will have such a massive riot that Rome will have to start coming in. And in 68, 69, the legions of Rome besieged Jerusalem, and 70, the siege began. So Judea is under procurators at this time. Agrippa took interest, now this is Agrippa II, man we're studying, Agrippa II took a keen interest of the Jews. In other words, he took their side and won them many favors from Claudius, the emperor of Rome. So he took the side of the Jews, was sympathetic to the Jews, and won them favors from Rome, from Claudius, the emperor of Rome. Now, point two. Then Agrippa slowly began to receive areas for his own rule. I'm just going to list them. I'm not going to develop them. In 48, Claudius, the emperor of Rome, granted Agrippa authority over temple affairs in the city of Jerusalem. So you can see we have gone so far away from the Mosaic Law. The Mosaic Law is really null and void at the time of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which broke the curtain, or the death of Christ, which broke the curtain in the temple, while the temple will stand until 70 A.D., it really is all over. But Claudius is granted authority over temple affairs in Jerusalem in 48. In 50, Claudius granted him rule of the small country in Lebanon. In 53, his rule was expanded into Damascus. His rule was expanded into Damascus and all of Philip's territory in the north. Then in 54, shortly after Nero became emperor, Nero gave Agrippa II some rule in Galilee. I guarantee you how that can happen. You give him rule over cities. Gave him some rule of the cities in Galilee. All right, that gives you a feel of his rise to power. Point three, Agrippa II was pro-Semitic in every way that he could be and defended the Jews. He used all of his power, all of his influence, to prevent trouble between the Jews and Rome. Four, his sister, Bernice, came to live with him after the death of her brother, after the death of her husband, and then she and her brother lived together in an incestuous relationship. Besides being perversion, besides being sinful, I couldn't even think of that with a sister. But maybe they had a different brother-sister relationship. All right. But Bernice, his sister, and her husband died. She came and lived with her brother, and they lived in an incestuous relationship. Point five. Between 52 and 60. Now, stop just a moment. See, the handicap here, people, is putting all of this Rome, Judea, and the church all on one chart. So, depending on how serious you are, now you go back, you overlap the date that I gave you last week, what's going on in the church, so that you'll see how important Herod Agrippa is, Herod Agrippa II, the time frame that he lived in with Peter, Paul, the spreading of Christianity, the spreading of all of these things, all of the problem with the Jews hate Christians now. See, the Jews are, and we don't become anti-Semitic, but we're observing objectively, the Jews so hardened, the hardening of the heart, partition of the soul, they hate Rome, now they hate Christianity, they hate Jews who have become Christians, they hate Christians who have become Christians. They hate anybody, everybody. They hate each other. This is the state of Israel. This is the state, the condition of Israel in 70 A.D. when they go out in the first cycle of discipline. There's a rage inside of the Jews. It's just that nothing can make them happy. Even if Christ had come and given them the kingdom, it would have not, with this generation, they were in no condition to receive anything except judgment. But they are the chosen, and the long-suffering, the love of God that we studied this morning, the second advent, he will revive the state of Israel. But I just want you to appreciate all that's going on. Now, point five, between 52 and 60, Agrippa II appointed the high priest. In fact, he appointed several high priests during this time period. Anytime you have a change of the guard so often, something's not right. Things are unstable. He supported the cause of the Jews in Alexandria, the great city of Egypt. The Jews there were having trouble, and he supported their interest there. They were suffering from anti-Semitism. They were suffering from the Hellenized population in the city, something the Jews have had to endure throughout all of the church age. So they were suffering there. Even though he is in Judea, he still sympathized with them and supported them the best that he could. Now back to his own country of Judea, the troubles were multiple. He had greater trouble in Judea than he did in Alexandria. The Jews hated each other. They hated Gentiles. They hated Romans. They hated Christians. And they hated Agrippa II. Why not? While you're at it, just throw in anybody else. A Jewish group emerged called the Zealots. The Zealots. Obviously, you're going to have this. You're going to have these kind of people emerge in good times in history, bad times. Well, in bad times, pressure times of history, sometimes they have a good cause. Sometimes they don't have a good cause. Sometimes a good cause is lost. I think of that when I think of the conditions that brought about the formation of what you and I know as the Ku Klux Klan. It has gone to the point of being, in a period of history, went to the point of being evil, and today promotes hate. But it's being founded, the founding of the Ku Klux Klan was to protect Southern ladies. The Northern soldiers would hold Southern ladies while they would have blacks rape them, and then often blacks would do it on their own, and the Northern Army would do nothing about it, the Northern government. And so the white men who wanted to protect their home and their ladies, they formed it. But so you have what you generally have with something like this developed in history is something's wrong. So you have something developed to protect it or to handle it, and then generally that gets out of line. This is like any type of vigilante in the movie Death Wish. If you have biblical norms and standards, if you have establishment norms and standards, you certainly sympathize, empathize, in some cases identify with what Charles Manson was betraying, and then all of the good that came out of it in the city. But the police chief there knew this cannot work. You can't have citizens killing each other. But you see, the condition of crime was such that something, there was a stream. Something had to be done. So what you have now are these zealots coming into play to protect Judaism. So the zealots, there's a rise with the zealots. They became active in this period, causing a great deal of hate, causing a great deal of division, and serving no real healthy purpose as far as the nation was concerned. So it's like today we have a lot of organizations. We have white organizations, black organizations, brown organizations, and they become zealous. But what they do is they create an animosity. They create division. They do not bring about unity. They bring about even stronger lines of fragmentation and division. So this is the condition of Israel at this time. Now point six. Point six, I want to move into the Bible. I want to get us into the Word of God now in this segment of church history. Point one, Jews, extremely religious, were holding on to their racial and national glory and thought of themselves as superior. The Jews were holding on to their racial and national glory rather than their spiritual cause, their spiritual destiny, their spiritual responsibility, and therefore thought themselves superior. Secondly, after the crucifixion of Jesus, and after the day of Pentecost and the beginning of the church, the Jews were faced with a rise of Christianity led by, of all people, Jews, namely one of their best, the Apostle Paul, or Saul, who will become Paul. So now, added to all of their problems, is the rise of Christianity, beginning with their own people being converts to it. So that's part of the problem. The movement of Christianity started in their own backyard, began to grow rapidly from Jerusalem, and expand to the world, throughout the world. This caused the Jews to increase their hatred and resentment and jealousy, therefore caused them to persecute Christian converts. They became even more zealous in killing Jewish Christian converts. This occurred not only in Jerusalem, but in some of the places where they were in diaspora. Those who were persecuted, being the Jews, became cruel persecutors themselves. You'll see that a lot in history. When people are persecuted, they are even worse when they have a position to do it to somebody else. Judea was a land of the scar tissue of the soul, hardening of the heart, and all of the conditions that go with that. Hostility, hate, jealousy, vengeance, outrage, riot, no discipline, no authority, just hate and revenge. 3, continual changes in Rome brought continual changes in Judea. It was a land of change. There was little to no stability in Judea. Change in regard to who would rule, how long they ruled, who would be the priest, who would be local rulers. Just constant change. Procurators changed, high priests changed. Everything was constantly changing as far as the Jews were concerned at this time. Now, this brought about what is called the second procuratorship, P-R-O-C-U-R-A-T-O-R-S-H-I-T, the second procuratorship. The first procuratorship started in 6 A.D., and Pilate was the fifth one in that one, with the crucifixion of our Lord. But now, we start back up with the procuratorship because, you recall, in 44, Claudius decided that Agrippa II could not rule. So what I want to show you now is we're going to put on this side of your paper, procurator, and over here, I want you to put emperor, the emperor of Rome. Give you a little chart here so that you can get a feel of what's going on now. Under emperor of Rome, Claudius, 41 to 54. 41 to 54. All right. Now, procurators that he will appoint. First one, Crispius. I'll spell it for you. Crispius Cottus. C-U-S-T-I-U-S. P-A-D-U-S. I spell that because I remember not to insult anyone. I just remember my days at Baraka. Bob would be teaching me things in class, and he would say, "Keep your Claudius and go on," and I'm sitting there, run that by one more time, slowly. And then I would go home and check my spelling, and I went, boy, either my ears are bad or my spelling's bad or a combination of both. But So I'll spell them for you. The second procurator was Tiberius Julius Alexander. A little bit easier. TIBERIUS JULIUS ALEXANDER. Now, his parents had grandeur vision for their son. I love his name. Tiberius Julius Alexander. They got everybody in there. And they just put them all there. And then probably they should have done was naming, yeah, they have Julius, so I don't know what else they should have done, but they did a great job. All right, now come to the next one, not so grandeur. By the way, Alexander will rule from 46 to 48. He will rule from 46 to 48. These are not going to last all that long. And then there is, then Ketuvius, Ventidius Cumanus, Cumanus. He will rule as procurator from 48 to 52. And when you overlap these with the apostles and all that's going on, you'll see a lot of things occurring. By the way, under Cumanus, you have the rising of unrest. Things really start getting bad under him. Next, Mark Antonius Felix. Antonius Felix. 52 to 60. Felix. You'll run across his name. Felix. Now, right with that line, go over to your emperor and write Nero. Now you're ready for Nero, 54 to 68. 54 to 68. Under Felix, kind of indent in a little bit if you wrote his name here. Just indent a little bit, and I want to tell you something that I want you to bear in mind in regard to Felix. Paul was tried before him, Acts 23-24. We'll look at it rather briefly. Paul was tried before him, Acts 23-24. Then the next one, the next procurator, Porcius, P-O-R-C-I-U-S, Festus, F-E-S-T-U-S, 60 to 62. Then the next one, Albinus, A-L-B-I-N-U-S, 62 to 64. Now, under all of that, from 64 to 70, Jerusalem was in a state of rebellion. 64 to 70, Jerusalem was in a state of rebellion. Then came under siege by Titus and his father, Vespasian. Vespasian will lead the actual charge against Jerusalem, a siege of Jerusalem. He will be appointed emperor after Nero's death and report to Rome in 69 to be the emperor of Rome, and will turn over the siege of Jerusalem to his son. All right, but how many of you, just either one of you, two times get to raise your hand in this church, how many of you were here when we did the siege of Jerusalem? Okay, we will not go anywhere near that level, but I'll go through it a little bit. I'll summarize it from about a year to maybe an hour or two. All right, that was a lot of fun. Those of you that were here, you really missed it. I mean, I took it through every little day of the siege, and we really battled that out. All right. Now, so 69, Vespasian goes to Rome to be emperor's son, takes over. The Jews were so disoriented, they had no hope, they lived in fear, which led to hate of each other, hate of Christians, hate of Rome, and even hate toward God. Now, what I want to do, I've just given you a list of the procurators of Rome, of Judea. Let's go through. I want to tell you a few things about some of these. And some things that will be pertinent as you look at the history of the church and what is happening with the church. Remember, the church started in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Galilee, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. We'll not belabor this, but I want you to have a feel for this period. Now, let's take a look. You ready now? So I'll put Cestius Paddus, 44 to 46. All right, let's note. Emperor Claudius brought Judea back under the district of Rome, or the rule of Rome, by appointing Claudius as the procurator. Remember that Herod Agrippa the First died, and so Claudius just brought Israel back, Judea back under the rule of Rome. Claudius was anti-Semitic. He hated Jews, so that presents a problem, putting someone who hates Jews in charge of the Jews. He started right off offending the Jews by desiring to place under the control of Rome the vestments of the high priest, the authority of the high priest. Claudius was persuaded by Agrippa II, whom I just told you took the side of the Jews, to leave them in the hands of the Jews themselves, leave the high priesthood in the hands of the Jews. So this man is really out of it, an anti-Semitic, and walked right in and started off causing a great deal of trouble. Claudius, at the same time, left the control an appointment in the hands of Herod Agrippa II. So he did leave that in his hands. The authority given to Herod Agrippa caused conflict between Claudius and Agrippa. Claudius really wasn't wise here. You never put two men in authority over the same thing. One should have their authority, but it caused a continual conflict between the two men. Now, in spite of being given this authority, conflict continued to exist between Rome and the Jews. In fact, the Jews increased their anticipation of the coming of the Roman rule. And now what happens, I want to give you a feel of how the Jews are at this time frame, because Acts will have some phrases. You still look for the Messiah. Well, with things intensifying now to this degree, a lot of Jews are really looking for the Messiah. Now, they just crucified him. But now, boy, do they want a Messiah. Do they want somebody to come and liberate them? So you recall that that's what they were looking for when Jesus Christ came, and that's why they rejected him. So all of the hoopla about a Messiah is really building up at this time, so to liberate them. Also at this time, a false prophet named Theudas, Theudas, who claimed to have divine appointment and powers, urged the Jews to rise up against Rome. Death. Note that this is something Christ never did. Christ never in any way encouraged negative feelings toward Rome by the Jews. Never. So just bear that in mind about Christ. All right, Claudius feared the false prophet, had him decapitated, and sent his head to Jerusalem. It was at this time that Rome realized that Claudius had lost control and of his rule, and therefore he was removed from office. This is recorded in Acts chapter 5. We might take a look at it, but just so you know where some of these things occurred. I said, y'all read yesterday's paper? This autopsy guy lost the head of the guy. I said, that's really good. I agree with the chief of police there. How do you lose a head? But I don't know the details or anything, but it's quite a story. He was performing an autopsy in a murder case, and he was doing it, and he lost the guy's head. All right. Alexander. Tiberius Julius Alexander, who will last from 46 to 48, was appointed to succeed Thaddeus. Let's note a few things about this man. He's in the Bible also, or at least these events. One, he was influential. He was an influential Jew from Alexandria, Egypt. He was the nephew of the famous philosopher Philo, P-H-I-L-O, of Alexandria. Two, to the Jews, Alexander was an apostate, a traitor. You cannot make these kind of people happy. And I hope this country doesn't reach this kind of point where we can't even make Americans happy. But you just, there's nothing they could have, Rome could have done. But here's a Jew, and well-known, and probably walked around the area of Jerusalem philosophizing. But anyway, the Jews hated him. They considered him a traitor. And again, the Jews were in riot and angry and mad. And they considered this man just another servant of anti-Semitic powers, and they were not going to work with him. Now, when you decide you're not going to work with someone, you have to realize that trouble is going to exist, and then it's real easy to say, see there, he's no good. That's all you have to do. It's like our president and our Congress right now. Neither one will work with each other, and therefore it makes it very easy to point the finger. The easiest thing in the world, if you want to cast blame, just don't work. Blame, by pointing your finger, really isn't accurate. It is not reality. You've made it reality by not working with them. And people do this. This is a little trick that people will do. Children are very good at this when they're rebellious against their parents. You just don't want to work with somebody. Don't work with them. Trouble exists. See there, it's all your fault. They won't do this. The president starts blaming Congress. Congress is blaming the president. And it's just a game people play in politics and in life. So the Jews were doing this. All right. Point three, Alexander tried to suppress Jewish hate and Jewish friction by having two of the zealots crucified. Acts chapter 5, verse 37. Four, during his procuratorship, Judea suffered economic depression. At the same time, they were hit with a severe famine. In other words, it was hit with the cycles of divine discipline, which culminated in the fifth cycle of discipline in 70 A.D. For those of you who are familiar with the five cycles of discipline that God has recorded in the Old Testament, they are now under the disciples of discipline. 70 A.D., the foreign power will come in and disperse them. Through all this disaster and discipline, the Jews became even harder, hardened against Rome, against Christianity, against Christians, against their own religious convictions. They hated everybody. They hated Christ. They still hated Christ. The hatred of Christ intensified, as it is right up to today, people. We're almost, 2,000 plus years from all of this. And if there are Jewish families that if the son or the daughter believes in the man Jesus as the Messiah, they put a article in the obituary of that their city's newspaper that their son or daughter died on this day. and take out all the pictures, take out everything, and have nothing to do. They still hate with a passion this man called Jesus. So there are many Jews who do this. Our government hates Jesus. The world is just in this turmoil about our Savior. All right, once again, cycles of discipline were coming down on Judah and Jerusalem, as had occurred in 586. The conditions are the same as they were in 586, in the time of Jeremiah. And in 70 A.D., it will all end with the fifth cycle of discipline. Point five, Alexander was promoted by the Senate of Rome and moved out of Judea. He was promoted by the Senate of Rome and moved out of Judea. That brings about the third procurator, Cumanus, C-U-M-A-N-U-S, 48 to 52. All right, one. Anti-Semitism was intensifying throughout the Roman world, throughout the Roman Empire, due in part to the antagonistic mental attitude of Jews wherever they were found. It's just the facts of history, and this is the way things were. I am by no means sponsoring the movie, but I remember the movie, I don't know if you ever saw it, Brian. It's probably shouldn't even talk about it, but it was at this time in history, and it showed that it was a comedy, and it showed the Jews of one party, and they were going to assassinate the Roman was there, and they met in the underground aqueduct, and they were leading under the palace area where they were going to kill the Roman. They met another group of Jews who were going to do the same thing. They got into a fight, killed each other down in the aqueducts, and the Romans just came up. The guards heard it, came down into the aqueducts, and the Romans just stood around looking at each other as to why all of these Jews were killing each other. And if someone was hypersensitive in anti-Semitism, you'd think, well, the movie is anti-Semitic, but the point was that is exactly the way they were. And as I sat there and watched it, I thought that is as possibly as real as a condition that was there. I just feel very confident if the Jews had met each other, no, we're going to do it, no, we're going to do it, and ended up killing each other, and they all died except Brian. But it was really wild how the Jews were at that time. But let's continue. But just is growing and growing and growing in their hate. So this is the condition of the Jews in Jerusalem, the Jews in diaspora. Continuing, point one, there were riots involving Jews in Rome, in Alexandria, and throughout the East, the Middle East. In other words, in Jerusalem and then along the sea coast, there was just constant riots that involved the Jews. And the one in Alexandria, many of the Jews were killed. In fact, they were killed in a lot of these riots. This caused even greater unrest in Palestine. So this is what Cumanus walks into. Cumanus was continually trying to put down riots. This was what his job really amounted to in Palestine. And in some cases, he used violent force against the Jews, slaughtering many of them. However, his policy was inconsistent and only caused greater problems. Just giving you a feel, flowing through this. You can take however you want to take your notes. This is the way Israel was after the crucifixion of Christ before 70 A.D. During the time, while all of this is going on, the world is catching on to Christianity. The world is becoming more and more positive. All right, secondly, envy, hate, evil continue to break out with the zealots leading the way. They led a lot of riots and little wars, skirmishes. The Jews were extremely religious. This was intensified when the Jews went to war against the Samaritans or whoever they were fighting. It now becomes a religious war. It now becomes Jewish religion against the world. There's been more killings in all of history involving religion than anything else. This is the only area that I can see that where we differ in this fighting concept from the animal world. And you watch these education programs and things, which I do enjoy. They have all of the fightings and everything. There are three basic reasons that animals fight and kill each other. One is for food. Two is for sex, both fighting other men or other males for the female, and sometimes fighting the female for sex. It's really wild. And then the third is for their territory. They have their own territory. Now, all of those human beings fight for. The only one added to all of that is religious wars, and called holy wars in some case, but not very holy. But you have religious wars that are fought, and that's what we have here. So they are going to fight and go to war. Now, point three, the Jews were causing trouble in Rome until in AD 50, Claudius issued a decree. The emperor of Rome, Claudius, issued a decree banishing all Jews from Rome. I remember all of these things when we come to Paul appealing to Rome. Paul is half Jew, half Roman. So a lot of these things are building in regard to things that will happen in church history. All right, so Claudius in 50 A.D. put out a decree banishing all Jews from Rome. And that until, in other words, that decree was to remain until they stopped their fighting over a coming Messiah who would liberate them from Rome. So you're going to have to stop all of the talk about a Messiah who's going to liberate you, stop your wars, and then we will relinquish the decree. This decree by Claudius included Jews who had converted over to Christianity, which is also significant. This decree by Claudius included Jews who had converted over to Christianity. For this reason, Priscilla and Aquila had to leave Rome. Acts 18:2. So when you know these other things, and you can sort of flow through the book of Acts. Four, Jews were also being killed because of their riots in Alexandria, Egypt, by none other than Tiberius Alexander, who now had been appointed head of the Roman army in Egypt. Remember, he was promoted out and went to Alexandria in charge of the Roman garrison in Alexandria, Egypt. And when the riots broke out, he just killed and slaughtered the Jews in that riot. Point five, the civil war in Palestine began to intensify because of all the anti-Semitic actions by the Roman government. Six, let me just finish this up. Six, in 52, or AD 52, Claudius called on a council in Rome, a council of both the Jews and the Samaritans, along with Agrippa II. Agrippa II was to represent the Jewish cause. Seven, because of the influence of Agrippa II, the emperor decided in favor of the Jews in both Alexandria and Palestine. It says a lot for Agrippa II. And then 8, he removed Germanus as the procurator. He removed him from his office. That will bring us to one who is in the Word of God, Felix. So we will begin with the fourth procurator of the second procuratorship, and that will be Felix. I didn't take you through all of the, I listed them for you, the procurators of the first procuratorship, but I didn't feel it was necessary because now we're into church history and things relating to the church and Jews and all of this, so I feel that this information is beneficial to getting a feel of the first century, not only in Jerusalem, but throughout the world. All right, let's close in a word of prayer and get ready for our study in John. Father, we're studying in the 1 Corinthians 13 in regard to the impact that spiritual love makes. As we study the condition of the church at its founding, foundation, beginning, begin to grasp the absolute necessity of spiritual love. When our forefathers of the church started, they started, Heavenly Father, in an environment of hate, hostility, riots, resentment, cruelty to each other. And yet, Heavenly Father, the commandment was to love one another. It is our purpose to develop this unbelievable force of love inside, that we may let the world know that we follow Jesus Christ. In his precious name we humbly pray. Amen.